Okay, the book of Ephesians, if you would. The book of Ephesians and chapter number 2. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Wanted to talk a little bit about the parade on Friday. It was great stuff. It was a lot of fun. It was great to see the joy. It brought a whole lot of people. But I got to tell you, I was a little bit disappointed. I guess I shouldn't be disappointed. I guess I should have expected this sort of thing. But there was a whole lot of things in that parade. There were lights and trees and candy and gingerbread houses and all those things. And not a whole lot of witness on what Christmas is really about. Now I want to get something clear, okay? I'm not against candy canes. I'm not against Christmas trees. I'm not against Christmas cookies, which you could probably tell. Okay? I'm not against those fun things, but what I am against is when everything about Christmas becomes only about those fun things.
Yeah.
Right.
How awful is it that the whole name of the holiday is Christmas? It's got Christ's name in it.
Yeah.
And so many people couldn't tell you what it's about.
Right.
And so I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about our float. So our float, we had... it was a two-sided float. So when it came down the street, you'd see the first half. And as it passed by, you'd see the second half. And the first half, it had a big pile of wrapped up gifts and presents. And it said, the best gift is... And as it passed by, we had the manger. And it said, Jesus Christ. The best gift is Jesus Christ. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today.
Amen.
I call the name of this message, The Gift That Keeps On Giving. You ever heard that term before? Well, Christmas time, it's not a secret that Christmas time is a time of gift giving. In fact, more gifts are given on Christmas Day than on any other time of the year. Okay? It reminds me about the man who... He just was not good at picking up hints from his wife, okay? And I got to tell you, ladies, I think I speak on behalf of all men here. When I tell you, just tell us what you want, because if you drop hints, that is a great way to guarantee you will not get it.
Yeah.
I think about this lady. She tried so hard to drop little hints here and there, and her husband never got her what she truly wanted for Christmas. He would always get her something like an exercise machine, which, by the way, is a terrible gift.
That's right.
That's another. That one's for the men. Okay, that is a terrible gift. All right. So one year, she had her eyes on a brand new sports car. And so she'd try to drop little hints here and there. They'd drive past the car lot and she'd say, look at that nice new Cadillac out there. Doesn't that look real nice? Could you just imagine us driving that sort of thing through the country? And he did what many husbands do. He was not there. And she'd drop little hints and she'd say, oh, this car that we drive in, it's just so old and we could really use a new car. And he'd sit there, Well, she had just had it. It was Christmas. It was the week of Christmas. And he asked her that dreaded question. What do you want for Christmas? And she just had it. She couldn't stand it. And she told him, look here, Buster. Christmas morning, I want to put on my robe. And I want to go out to the driveway. And there better be something in that driveway that goes 0 to 204.5 seconds. Do you get me? Do I make myself clear? And he said, oh, absolutely, 100%, I got you. So Christmas morning came around. The husband was so excited. He felt like he got this. He's got this in the bag. He woke her up. He said, oh, honey, I want you to see your gift. So she gets so excited. She throws on her robe and she goes to the tree and it's not there. And he says, that's because it's out in the driveway, just like you said. 0 to 204.5 seconds right there in that driveway. She's so excited. She started crying. You remembered. And she went out into the door. She flung open the door and there in the driveway was a bathroom scale. The funeral will be next week. Well, at Christmas time, we talk a lot about gifts. How many of you ever heard that dreaded song, The 12 Days of Christmas? So I was thinking about that song the other day. And you know, it's interesting. The first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge and a pear tree. And then it says on the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge and a pear tree. And then on the third day, there's three French hens, two more turtle doves, and yet another partridge and a pear tree. Do you understand? Every day, my true love is giving me all these gifts that they've already given me. So I did what I do. I overthink things. And I added it all up. And if you were to take up all those gifts and add them all up together, that adds up to 364 gifts. 184 of those gifts are birds. And again, I did what I do. I overthink these things. I started thinking about the cost of those things. Added it up, that's $105,561. And again, more than half of those are birds. Now, if someone was really my true love, they would not buy me all them birds. What am I going to do with all them birds? And there are better ways of spending all of that money than by giving me all these birds that I don't need. But I thought about that. 364 gifts. Do you know that's almost a gift for every day of the year?
Yeah.
But even the 12 days of Christmas and all those wacky birds, there's still one day that you wouldn't get a gift. You know, wouldn't a great gift be a gift, something that you get every single day?
Yeah.
I think about a gift that keeps on giving. You ever heard that phrase before? It's a gift that it's nice in and of itself, but it really turns into a lot of gifts. You know, God gave us a so much better gift.
Yeah.
So much better than a bunch of birds, I'll tell you that. But he's given us a gift that we can use each and every single day of the year. Not even the 12 days of Christmas can do that. 365 days, year after year after year after year, from now to eternity, God has given us a gift. And of course, we talk about that gift is what we had at the parade, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the gift that keeps on giving. It continues to have benefits for years to come. And of course, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's why we give gifts at Christmas time. It's because God gave us a gift. And when we give gifts to others, it's mirroring what God has done for us. Now, none of us could ever give such a precious gift as Jesus Christ. But that's why I love some of these traditions, because it points all to the whole purpose of Christmas. How God gave himself to mankind, Jesus Christ, the greatest present ever given. Now, Jesus was truly a gift, because you know, a gift is free to the recipient. You didn't have to do anything to earn that gift. It was freely given. It doesn't cost you a red cent. And you can have that gift today just for the asking.
Yeah, that's right.
You can have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All it takes is for you to ask. And I was thinking about gifts this Christmas season, and I thought about Jesus is the greatest gift, but why? What makes a gift a great gift? I want you just in your mind to think about some of the most memorable gifts you've ever received. And I want you to think about what made that a great gift. Just think about it in your minds. What made that a great gift? Let me give you a couple answers. I interviewed a few people for this sort of thing. I went around and asked, what makes something a great gift? And here's some of the answers I got. Who it came from.
Yeah.
That makes something a great gift. You know, if you got a gift from somebody who was real important, that would mean something real special to you. Or the thought that was put behind it. You know, it's always great when somebody gets you something that you really needed or you really wanted, and it just shows they were thinking about you. What about this? The effort it took to make that gift or to purchase that gift or even the expense of the gift. Now understand, some of the best gifts aren't even the most expensive ones, but even if a gift took a lot of effort to get, that would be a great gift. What about a gift that's useful? A gift that has a lot of uses, something that personally helps you. These are just some of the answers that I got. And maybe you can relate to some of those things. So let's take a look at Jesus and ask ourselves, is he really a great gift? Is he really one of the greatest gifts? Well, let's see where it came from. It came from God himself.
Yeah.
The creator of the universe, he gave you this gift. Think about that. The God who created the planets and the stars and instituted the laws of nature and the complexities of the landscapes around us. He gave us that gift. That makes it a great gift. God put thought into this gift. You know, they say the thought that counts, sometimes that's the only thing that counts. But God put real thought behind this gift when he gave it. He was thinking of you. You were on his mind when he gave this gift. It was not for his benefit, but for yours, even if it meant his loss. I think about the effort or the expense that was put into it. It was free for you.
Yeah.
It was a free gift. You didn't have anything to do to have it. It was freely given to you, but it certainly wasn't free for God.
Right.
He had to purchase your salvation, the Bible says, with his blood. The world's biggest price tag that nobody on earth could pay. Not any of our combined resources could pay for that sort of a gift. It costs you nothing, but it costs God everything. And then God's gift has so many uses to us. It's so useful. It meets our needs exactly. It's exactly the answer that we needed for our sinful condition. You understand, the world's looking for some sort of answer. The world is looking for some sort of solution to the problem of sin. And they think all these ceasefire agreements are going to change people's sinful hearts, and it's not going to do a thing.
Right.
The answer is Jesus, and it was freely given. It has so much use for us, and it meets our exact needs. He is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, by this time, I hope you found Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's stand, if you would, in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We'll read just a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I'm so thankful it doesn't stop there. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And so this morning, let's take a look at all the many gifts you get when you get Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you again for all the people here this morning. I pray you do a mighty work that I can't do. I pray you'd speak to the hearts and to the souls of these people. And I pray if there's someone here that does not have the gift of Jesus Christ, I pray today they'd receive that gift. And Lord, for those who have already received that gift, I pray you would help us to appreciate it more and to live our lives in appreciation of these gifts, God. I do pray that you do this mighty work that I cannot do. Take me out of the way and let your words be plain and clear. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know what? Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. That means, what I mean by that is when you get Jesus, you don't just get one gift. You get many gifts. Yes, he is one gift, but through Jesus, there are so many other things that you receive.
That's right.
And so we're going to look at some of them. The first five verses here in chapter 2, it says, "And you hath he quickened." If you like to take notes in your Bible, I'd underline that word quicken. That's a Bible word that means to make alive.
Right.
To make alive. "And you hath he quickened, and you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Verses 2 and 3 tells us what we used to be like. "Wherein in time past," and that's in the past, "ye walked according to the course of this world." You are just like everybody else in this world. This world's an evil place full of wickedness and sin. And that was every one of us.
Yeah.
"According to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." In other words, it's saying in times past, we all did what felt right. That's the battle cry of the world. If it feels right, do it. If it feels good, do it. You deserve to live your truth. You deserve to live how you think is right. And understand that that's fulfilling the lust of our flesh, and that's how we typically are born. We're born, all of us, wanting to do the things naturally that we want to do, and those things are by nature disobedient to God.
Right.
Those things by nature are opposed to God. You know, you never have to teach a child how to lie, they just naturally do it.
Yeah.
You never have to teach a child how to be selfish, they don't have to go to selfish school to learn that sort of thing. It just comes naturally, because it's all part of our natural human nature. But that's the past. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us." There's that word quickened again. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. So what's the first gift? I wanted to do the 12 gifts of Jesus, but I've only got 10 here. And truthfully, there's more than 12.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many more gifts, but we're going to look at just a few today. Here's the first gift you get with Jesus. The gift that keeps on giving, you get new life.
Amen.
This is a new nature. Jesus, when you receive Jesus, he takes that old nature that you had, that nature of selfishness and lust and pride, and he puts it to death. The Bible says it's put to death on the cross that Jesus was nailed to. Your old self was nailed to that cross, and Jesus was buried, and that old nature of yours was buried in his blood. And here's the thing, Jesus rose again, and that old nature stayed dead.
Amen.
It's the old man, and it don't come back to life.
Right.
It's gone, it's dead, it's buried. And the problem is, we as Christians like to play Frankenstein and try to resurrect that dead again. We try to live in our new nature what we used to do. What that person is dead. That person is buried. We are a new creature, the Bible says. Jesus and his sacrifice made a way for our spirit to be made alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but Jesus gave us new life. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "You must be born again." This is a new birth. And when you receive Jesus, the greatest Christmas gift, that's one thing you get is new life. You're not the same. You're not who you used to be. You're not dead in your trespasses and sins. Hey, do you know if you die and you're dead inside, it doesn't magically just come back to life.
Yeah.
It's still dead. And the Bible talks about the lake of fire being called the second death.
Right.
But now you have new life and life that is eternal. That means it never ends.
Hey.
And it starts the very moment you get saved.
Yeah.
The very moment you call on Jesus and you say, I want that gift for myself. You receive eternal life from that moment forward. That means nothing you do could ever resurrect that old man.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you could do to make that spirit dead again. Just as Christ was crucified once and for all, your sins were crucified once and for all. There are a lot of people in this world that believe that I get saved. Jesus saved me, but I got to be a good person to keep it up.
Oh my.
And that's not what the Bible teaches.
That's right.
If the Bible taught that, then there is no eternal life. You would have lost it the moment that you disobeyed God. You would have lost it the moment that you disobeyed the Word.
Right.
You have new life that's eternal.
Amen.
That's just one of the many gifts. But guess what? Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
What else do you get when you get Jesus? You get new life. But here's the next one. You get mercy.
Oh,
mercy. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is keeping something from you that you really deserve.
Yeah.
When you really deserve something, but the powers that be withhold that from you, they are exercising mercy. And can I tell you, as sinners, as those who have transgressed God's laws, we all deserve to go to hell.
Right.
We all deserve it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Old Testament says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Yeah.
That's the penalty for sin. But through Jesus, God gives us mercy. He keeps that penalty away from us. Some might even say it's our fire insurance, because when you get Jesus, you don't even taste the fire.
That's right.
The closest you'll get to hell is this world we live in right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
To the Christian, this world is hell.
Yeah.
This is as bad as it's going to get.
Yeah.
But it gets better from here on out.
Hey.
But if you don't have Jesus, you haven't received Jesus, you've got that one-way ticket.
Yeah.
And this is as best as it's going to get.
Yeah.
And help me, if this world is as best as it gets, you've got something so much worse waiting for you. But God gave you that gift. He gave you Jesus. And if you receive Jesus, you get mercy. He withholds that judgment from you. He withholds that penalty from you. But that's not all. But wait, there's more.
Hey.
We talked about that in Sunday school with the wise men. But wait, there's myrrh. Look at verse 5. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving, because not only do you get new life and mercy, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. We get the gift of grace. Now, mercy and grace are sometimes used synonymously, but they are different.
Right.
Whereas mercy, they withhold what you truly deserve. But grace, you are given what you don't deserve.
Yeah.
It is offered to you. You have not earned it. You have not done anything to be worthy of it. It's defined as unmerited favor, unearned favor. God is pleased with you when He looks at your life through no effort on your part. There are so many religions. They have so many sacraments they have to go through. And they think, if I do all these sacraments, I will earn God's grace. That's not grace.
That's right.
Because grace is unearned.
Yeah.
You can't do anything to earn it. It's given freely. And when you have Jesus Christ, although you are a sinner, You are a sinner saved by grace. And when you stand before God, God looks at you in favor. He looks at you and you have that favorable position in God's sight. You don't have to try to earn it. You don't have to try to earn God's smile. By being His child, He is pleased with you. Now, as a child of God, can I say you can displease the Lord? You can do things to displease Him, but it doesn't run His grace out.
Yeah.
He's still gracious to you. You know what I love about our God? He's still good to us, even when we're not good to Him.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm a preacher, and there are days where I'm not good to God. And those times are more often than they are not. But even when we're not good to God, He is so good to us.
Yeah.
Because God's goodness is not dependent on what you do.
Right.
He gives His grace freely, unearned and unmerited. But wait, there's more. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving because you get new life, mercy, grace. And how about this? A promise of heaven someday. Look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says that He raised us up together. Who's He talking about? Together with who? With Jesus. In other words, if Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, the Bible promises that there will be a resurrection. For us, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That does tell us there will be some who sleep.
Yeah.
And the Bible uses that term sleep for the death of a Christian, because when a Christian dies, it's just as if their body goes to sleep. You're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord, but one day that trumpet's going to sound. Come up hither! And that body will be resurrected just as Christ was resurrected. And we'll have that. And we'll have that home in heaven. You know, I love what it says here. It says it's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You ever go to a restaurant and somebody, you're planning on meeting someone there, and they get there before you, and you go and you see them across the restaurant and say, "Hey, I saved you a seat. I got you a seat right here at the table with me. Come on in." Do you know, Jesus has saved us a spot in heaven. Hey, I saved you a seat. Saved you a seat right here. The Bible says, Jesus said that I go to prepare a place for you. Those heavenly places. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye maybe also. Jesus has gone away. You receive Jesus and you've got your reservation written down.
Amen.
You go to that restaurant and they'll look for your name in that book. When I get to heaven, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know. My name is there, the Bible says. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you know what the Bible says? You can never be blotted out. You can't be scrawled out. Heaven's pen does not have an eraser. It's permanent ink. And the pages don't rip out. You are there written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got your place in heaven. Jesus says, "Hey, saved you a seat right here with me." But wait, there's even more. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. You will have a sanctified life. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I love that word workmanship. I'm going to let you in on a little bit of my personal life, okay? I wanted to take up a hobby. You know, sometimes you just sit there in front of the TV and you wonder, I could be doing something more productive with my time. I took up whittling, wood carving. Can I tell you, that's difficult.
Yeah.
That is hard. The first thing I carved, it was like, I planned for it to be a bear, and it turned into a fox, and then it turned into a squirrel. And then it turned into just a lump of wood that sits, and I can't bring myself to throw it away. Because I made it. And I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
No one else can tell what it is, but I can't either. But I made that. I spent hours chipping away at that wood. Blisters all over my hands. Now, thankfully, I've gotten a little bit better at that sort of thing. I started making Christmas ornaments for my family with it. They're not great, okay? So don't ask to see pictures or anything, okay? But you know what? I'm proud of them. Because I worked hard on them. And you know what? I'll sit them on the mantle and I'll see them and go, oh, I need to smooth out a little part here. So I'll take that sandpaper and smooth it and say, no, this part doesn't belong. And I'll take that chisel and I'll chisel away and until I am perfectly pleased with it. Now understand, I'm not a very skilled craftsman. I wouldn't say I'm a craftsman at all. However, I think that's the way it is with us. The Bible says we are His workmanship. We are His craftsmanship. He, like that wood carving, He looks at us and He says, oh, here's a thing that doesn't belong. And He'll take that sandpaper and He'll smooth it out. Or He'll take His chisel. And sometimes God's chisel hurts.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's doing it so that we are a better image, a better representation of who He is. We are His workmanship. When you get saved, God doesn't just leave you to yourself and say, all right, you've been saved. Just try to do good. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit literally indwells in us and He cleans us up and He makes us more and more like Him every single day. That's not something you can do.
Right.
You can't try to do it. I mean, you can try, but you will fail.
Yeah.
You can look at all the list of Jesus' qualities and write them down and say, okay, today I'm going to love my enemies. But you'll fail in some sort of other area. And you can try to do it that way, or you could just be saved and let God do it for you. God will change you from the inside out. But wait, there's more. He's the gift that keeps on giving. How about this? Look at verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Do you know when you get Jesus, you get hope?
Yes.
Hope is looking forward to something. We already said this world has hell to look forward to. That's a hopeless future.
Right.
Do you know hope is, as someone said, it's like being stuck in a hole. And you can see the outside, but no matter how hard you climb or jump or reach, you never reach the top. That's what it's like to have no hope. But for the Christian, we know no matter how bad things get here, we got something far better to look forward to. No matter what you go through down here. Look, trials don't go away when you get saved. That's whoever's preaching that is trying to sell you something.
Yes, sir.
All right? Your troubles don't go away, but you got hope. You got something to look forward to. But wait, there's more. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving because you get a relationship with God. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In other words, you are far away, but now you're brought close because of the blood of Christ. Look at verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Before Jesus, nobody could come before God.
Right.
God is so holy, none of us is worthy to come before God's presence. But Jesus was our great high priest. And He was the one that allowed us to come before that heavenly Father. Now you can know God personally. If you know Jesus, you know God. Because Jesus is God.
Right.
He is God in a man's body. He is all God. He is all man. He is that bridge between the two. And when you get Jesus, you get all of Him. Not just the man part,
yeah,
but the God part of Him too.
Amen.
When you get Jesus, you get that personal relationship with God. You know, I can talk to God. And people in the world would hear that and say, oh, but I can.
Yes, sir.
Because I have access to Him. Because of Jesus. And if you know Jesus, You can talk to God too. So how come you don't? If you had the President of the United States on speed dial, and anytime you watched the news and you just didn't like something, you'd call them up and just chew them out over it. Right? We would take advantage of that, right? But how come we don't do that with God? You can call God anytime and He listens.
Yeah.
You're not going to get His secretary.
Come on.
You know? You're not going to go through His voicemail and He'll just get back with you. He's right there. You got that relationship with God. But wait, there's even more. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. Look at verse 14. For He is our peace. I'm going to stop right there. He is our peace. He's our peace with God. Now this verse is talking of a lot about the peace between Jews and Gentiles. But can I also say, verse 16 also makes it clear. Let's go ahead and read it. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There is no enmity between us and God. There's nothing standing in the way anymore. He took it out of the way. We have peace with God. But wait, there's more. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving because you get a position with God. Look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. When you get saved, are you ready for this? You become a saint.
Yeah.
You are a saint. Brother Gentry, are you saved?
Yes, sir.
You are Saint Brian Gentry. Brother Frank, are you saved? You are Saint Frank. Now I'm saved. I'm Saint Jesse. You don't have to go through no Catholic church to become a saint. You don't have to perform miracles or anything. The only miracle that's performed was the miracle that Jesus performed in me.
That's right.
And not only am I a saint, if you're saved in this room, you are a saint. And if you are saved in this room, not only are you a saint, you are a child of God. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. I am a son of God. If you're a lady here, you're a daughter of God. And listen, there are people that say, well, we're all God's children.
Oh, no.
Well, God may have created us all, but you're only His child if you got Jesus.
Right.
You become adopted into that family. That is such a wonderful gift, that adoption of sons. But wait, there's more. Verse 22. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving because you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit literally dwells inside of you. If you're saved, you've got Jesus, then you've got that third part of the Godhead inside of you right now. And He doesn't just sit there and does nothing. He doesn't sit on the couch and loaf about. He actually teaches you in all things. He instructs you in all wisdom. And He transforms you. Now, I could keep going, but we'd be here all day. Today and tomorrow and Tuesday. You get the point? There's so many more gifts that come along with Jesus. He's just the gift that keeps on giving. When you get Jesus, you don't just get one gift. You get them all. There was a father and a son. And the father was pretty rich, pretty wealthy, well off. He and his son had an expensive hobby, and that was collecting art. And they collected some of the great artworks throughout the world. They had original Picassos. And they had some original Da Vinci paintings, which are so rare. Van Goghs and Moliers. And they would display them all throughout the house. It was a very expensive hobby. But they had an art collection that rivaled any museum in this world. Well, the son got called off to war. And while he was over there, he went missing in action. And the father was so distraught. And then on Christmas Day, a soldier knocked at his door. And he said, "You don't know me, but your son saved my life on the battlefield over in the war. And he told me about his love for art, and I'm not a great artist, but I painted a portrait of your son just as kind of a thank you for him saving my life. He gave his life so I could live, and I wanted you to have it." And that father took that portrait, and it was not professional by any means. It surely was done by an amateur, but he loved that painting. It was a reminder of his son. He put it above the fireplace, and of all the artworks in his collection, he loved that painting more than any of the others, because that was his son. The old man died, and they were having an estate sale. Everything must go. They had an auction for all the different artworks that were in his house. And art collectors from all over the country swamped to this house because they wanted to get their hands on some of the most priceless works of art. The auctioneer stood up and said, "Before we get into any of these other paintings, the first painting we must sell is this one that hung over the fireplace, and it was the father's son." He said, "Who will give me $100 for this painting?" And all the people of the crowd said, "It's not worth $100. It's not worth the $10 on that canvas. Well, when are we going to get to the good stuff? Give us the Van Goghs. Give us the Picassos. Let's get to those. Someone just buy it already so we can get to the others." He said the instructions were very clear. We have to sell this first before we move on to the others. And a man from the crowd said, "I'll take it, but all I have is $10. And the auctioneer said, "Surely somebody else has more than that. $10. Anybody else?" And the crowd screamed, "Just give it to the man. He's the only one that wants it." So the auctioneer dropped the gavel, sold for $10. The auction is now closed. And those art collectors, they all gasped, "What's going on? What happened to the other paintings?" And the auctioneer said, "They have all been sold." You see, the father left strict instructions that the son's portrait would be sold first, and whoever buys the son gets it all. Can I tell you, with Jesus being such a precious gift, when you get Jesus, you get it all.
Yes.
He who gets the Son gets it all. Now let me ask you, if you've never received this gift, don't you want it? I don't know what's in your heart, but you might be here today and you've never received that gift. And you hear about all these things and wonder, "I want that gift." You can have it. It's free. It was given to you already. All you have to do is take it. And in just a moment, I will have an invitation and I will invite you to accept it. But if you've already accepted this gift, do you even care? Is it a big deal to you? You know, it ought to be. The sad fact of it is many Christians are glad to take Jesus, but they don't care. Jesus left heaven's throne for you, but can you leave your living room couch for him? Come into his house?
Come on.
Hey, you know, we got church more than just Sunday morning. We got church Sunday night and Wednesday night. But you know, we don't nearly have the crowd that we do Sunday night, Wednesday night. Because this is a plague all throughout America, not just here. But I talk to preachers all the time and they say, this is an epidemic. It used to be Christians could not wait to get into church because of the gift they received. And now it's worth letting all those gifts stay there. Hey, what if I told you we'd give $10,000 to every person that came to church tonight, Sunday night? You'd be here. You'd be here. You'd get your family members coming. Hey, $10,000, everybody. But hey, we say, hey, come tonight, Sunday night. and you'll get God. Well, I don't know about that. Could it be that $10,000 is more precious than God? I just read for you all the gifts and more that you receive with Christ. But maybe God isn't as important as $10,000. You know, I was given these words to this song. Brother Gentry wrote a song about 20 years ago about the greatest Christmas gift of all. And I wanted to read that for you because I want to remind you this is the greatest gift of all. He was born in a manger far, far away. He lived a perfect life and showed the world a better way. And I'll always praise his name and be the first to say that God gave the greatest gift of all. Jesus healed the sick and lame and caused the blind to see. It was for us he came that we might live eternally. And I'll never understand why others find it hard to see that God gave the greatest gift of all. Christ came down from heaven and died upon the tree. He came down from heaven and died for you and me. On that glorious third day, he arose victoriously, and it's his precious blood that sets us free. So when Christmas Day is here and we're gathered round the tree, let's keep the message clear so that everyone can see. Because Christmas was the first step on the road to Calvary when God gave the greatest gift of all. He's the gift that keeps on giving. Do you have it? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'll ask again. Are you here this morning and you'd say, "Preacher, I've gotten this gift. I can point back to the day where I received Jesus as my gift." Would you raise your hand just as a testimony for the Lord? I'm not going to judge you or anything like that. Thank you. I see those hands. God sees those hands. Let me ask you, is there someone here today that would say, "Preacher, I want all those gifts, but I'm just not sure if I've ever received it. But I want to receive it this morning." Is there anybody that would be there like that? Would you raise your hand this morning just so I can see it? Anybody like that this morning? All right, in just a moment, the music will play. And I'm going to ask you to come down to the front. Do you love Jesus? Do you appreciate the gift he's given to you? Then what are you doing about it? Are you ready? Let's stand. The song is, "I have decided to follow Jesus." That's the decision today. Are you going to follow Jesus? He gave you so much. What are you giving back to him? The least you could give him is your heart. Just following him and obeying his word.